don't think that we address enough how optimistic that Drew is.
You're
like brimming with a lot of positivity.
I tend to err on the side of the positive.
Yeah, you do. I guess I think that I do, but apparently I don't. I don't know. Maybe I.
Oh, you don't.
Oh.
You absolutely don't.
Well, that answers that question here on Justice and Drew for a Monday. I think Sam probably agrees. I guess, yeah. Okay. I can move on now. This was supposed to be about you.
I'm keeping an eye on the University of Minnesota's Twitter feed regarding the public safety situation, as it is still being called, happening around the graduate hotel. Their most recent tweet says, public safety emergency are shutting down streets and sidewalks near the graduate hotel. Please stay clear of that area. You can go to umn.edu for updates there, but they really aren't. They keep directing you to the website, but they really aren't offering much on there other than what we've already reported, that the roads in the area are closed, the Recreation Wellness Center closed, and the Washington Avenue ramp is inaccessible due to this, what's being called a hostage situation at this hotel.
There is a piece in National Review, and in the piece, at the beginning of it, it says there is a wonderful Medicaid program that merits support, home-based services for the disabled, but it's under assault. And we actually have the author of said piece and frequent guest on the show. You can find her at MN Think Tank, Kim Crockett. Good morning, Kim. How are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic for a Monday. We're a little bit worried about the super blood moon tomorrow, but at least
super blue blood moon.
Sorry, super blue blood moon. My bad. Yeah, but for currently, we're doing great.
All right. Well, I will add that to my list of things not to worry about.
No nonsense. Yeah, Kim Crockett.
Yeah. Well, I heard you guys talking before this segment about money in the political system, I think with regard to the second district, all the bucks
right
that flow into our electoral process. And that actually ties in very nicely to what I wrote about National Review last week.
Well, it seems like every time like a government program pops up, it's not long before you hear about how it's being abused, how the money that is intended to go to certain recipients is in fact being siphoned off and going to other recipients. It seems to happen without fail, which is why you hear conservatives and small government folks, we push back on these ideas. We push back against the creating these new government programs because we've seen time and time again that they simply end up getting abused and they don't help the people that they're supposed to be helping. And you have a piece in National Review about this happening with Medicaid.
Yeah, this is extraordinary, and it ought to enrage every American. I don't care what political party you affiliate with or how you vote. This ought to upset you. And actually, when you do polling on it, guys, it polls very poorly, even in stalwart union households. So this is happening in about 11 states, and it happened here, starting with Governor Dayton's election. And he had kind of signaled he was going to do this as a quid pro quo to his friends in two government sector unions, the SEIU and AFSCME. I think a lot of your listeners will remember that he declared that certain people who are in the private sector were public sector employees, state employees under his executive branch,
right,
but just so they could be unionized. And the first was child care providers. You guys know Jennifer Parrish and Holly Sable, Becky Swanson, the heroes of that fight. He declared that women who run child care centers in their home were state employees so they could be unionized by AFSCME. And we beat them because Jennifer and Becky and Holly were organized on March 1st.
It took a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of sacrifice. But yes, you eventually prevailed in that.
You guys helped a lot by getting the word out. So AFSCME lost that fight, and Minnesota was the first state where they lost that fight. The second group of people that he declared state employees are all the good folks who take care of disabled adults who are receiving benefits under Medicaid, Congress and the state of Minnesota decided it was a lot better for these disabled folks to live at home with their families than be in institutions, you know, where being cared for by people who don't necessarily care about them or have the skills to really give them a great life. And so we decided as a nation, as I said, John, in that opening, you know, paragraph, we're generous, we're prosperous, so we can do this. We can do it really well. So Chris Green has been the lead in fighting this. She has an adult daughter, Merity, who's disabled, and she gets paid a very modest, I mean, really modest amount under Medicaid to care for Merity so she can stay in their home. And she was declared a state employee by the governor. And unfortunately, the scheme succeeded here in Minnesota. And in 2014, the SEIU became the exclusive representative of people like Chris across the state who care for these disabled adults so they can stay home. And most of them, and I estimate about 85% of them, are family members that participate in this. Not everybody has family members who can do it, and so there are people who aren't family members. But we estimate that across the country in these 11 states that at least $200 million is being taken, and it goes straight into the party of government.
Yep.
So Medicaid welfare has been leveraged to get money to spend on politics.
Now, what's
this? Is what this is what the unions do? This is the danger of
help.
Sorry,
they had a governor,
yeah,
and a legislature in 2013. That was all. If you recall, there were 2 years where, you know, the party of government, Governor Dayton's party, ran everything, and this is the kind of thing that they passed.
Now, what argument was made at the time when Governor Mark Dayton issued the executive order? What benefit did he see from doing this?
Well, it was a way to pay back the unions that got him into office. he made a cynical argument.
Yeah, yeah. What's the cynical argument?
The cynical argument that he made, and I don't know if he believes it or not, it's hard to know, was that these were low-paid home care health workers. And he was going to unionize them so that the SEIU could collectively bargain with the state legislature, what, over Medicaid benefits?
But in doing so, they end up setting dues that they have to pay now, right?
Well, the union set dues at 3% of gross wages for low-paid healthcare workers, up to $948 a year. I mean, some school teachers aren't paying that.
Wow.
Yeah, and so.
And it's all done. It's done via coercion. I mean, you don't even really. You have to fight to keep that money, if you don't want to be a part of the union. It shouldn't be that way.
This is a unique set of state employees because a healthcare provider in Illinois named Pam Harris successfully sued on this issue all the way up to the Supremes. And they said, well, you know, these people aren't state employees. So they don't have to join the union and they don't have to pay the dues. So that was one. So they have a right to work in a sense. But the problem is the union still represents them, to our state legislature, for example. And they're causing all kinds of mischief by taking over the program, taking over training, getting things like mandatory meetings with the union. I mean, that's a whole other segment if you guys want to talk about it sometime. But as you know, with the help of Doug Seaton, we've been fighting this for several years here in Minnesota, There's a lawsuit that's still live here where we're trying to decertify the unit. And we'll see how that turns out. We need a little more time before we know what happens. But as we fight here at the state level, a congresswoman from Washington has joined the fight. Her name is Kathy McMorris Rogers. She's the mother of a disabled son. His name's Cole, by the way. And she is going to introduce legislation probably late in February that would say to SEIU here in the state of Minnesota, well, there's nothing we can do to interfere with that bargaining unit that already exists at this point. But if the SEIU wants union dues, it has to go out and collect them itself.
Yeah. And that right disrupts now, their entire that disrupts their entire model. I mean, that's unions don't want to have to earn that money.
Right. They're going to have to send out an invoice to the members of the union and say, could you give us $948 a year? And a lot of people are going to go, I'll just keep it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that there's some good news that there's somebody that my, and my concern over all of this was, you know, what is going to be done at this point in time? What kind of confidence do you have in the ability to go and do something about this?
Well, we've been fighting tooth and nail here in Minnesota. I think we have the best model, led by Attorney Doug Seaton to decertify the union, because that's the only way to get rid of it, is to decertify it. And I'll keep you posted on how that's going. Now that the providers around the state know about this scheme, because they didn't even know when it happened.
Wow.
The SEIU went out and figured out who was going to vote yes. And they got just enough cards from people who wanted this for whatever reason. And there was also a lot of, let's put it this way, a lot of cards got turned in for unionization that had signatures that did not belong to the people, you know, that I want to call it forgery.
And wasn't it a situation where, like, if you didn't send a card in, they just assumed you were a yes?
Well, that's been a problem, too, where dues were taken out, and there was a lot of confusion in 2014 when that Supreme Court case came down. That's still getting sorted out. But so decertification is the best way to approach it at the state level to get rid of the bargaining unit. And then hopefully this legislation at the federal level will at least take a lot of the dollars out of the system. And those dollars get spent on politics.
Yeah, they go to elect Democrats.
Well, it goes to elect people. It goes to elect people, and that's not what Medicaid was meant for. Medicaid was meant to reach the recipient families and help them care for disabled people at home. It wasn't intended to go into the political system.
And that's what this this legislation that Representative Rogers from Washington basically boils down to, prohibiting Medicaid dollars to pay union dues, which in a sense prohibits Medicaid dollars from being spent on getting people elected. Kim Crockett, Center of the American Experiment. You can find more of this, more of the work that you guys do. Fantastic work, and your fantastic pieces published all the time. Just go to AmericanExperiment.org. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure.
So coming up, while it's 2 right now outside, we do have a Gone Green update.
It's 2?
It's 2. That's right.
This doesn't sound like a real temperature.
Apparently, this is out of investors.com, the climate change doomsday has been canceled.
Oh, good.
We're going to break the news coming up. It's great. We've been holding on to it all morning long, but
it's over.
Your climate change doomsday has been canceled. We're more than happy to bring you that news on the way.
That's excellent news.
Your show.
Say welcome to all the out-of-town visitors that are here in our fine metropolitan area for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you're here from Philadelphia, if you're from New England, wherever you're from.
That's right.
Thank you for coming here, climbing our light poles, riding our zip lines. Check out our glorious rail.
Enjoy two.
It's
two. Right now. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, where it is.
Two.
Hey, did you see Apple is going to beat its own record for the biggest quarter ever? iPhone 10 sales, or they say X. You say iPhone X or iPhone 10? What do you say?
I say X.
Okay. Yeah. Boosted expectations, analyst forecast, $19 billion net income.
What?
Wow. There goes all of those, you know, sort of stories about, oh, what's going to happen, you know, with jobs gone and will this ever, you know, yeah. Biggest quarter ever.
Yeah, the economy's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's heard.
Well, I know. I hear people getting money on their checks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Bonuses.
Extra bonuses. Yeah, a lot of bonuses being handed out. You know, that's
your payroll deductions are decreasing.
And that's not the only good news that we have, guys. It really isn't.
It's not easy being green.
Nope.
Having to spend each day the color of the leaves.
Got a Gone Green update. Fantastic news. Investors.com, a new study published in the prestigious journal Nature finds that all those global warming doomsday scenarios aren't credible.
What?
Not that you would ever know that based on how little coverage this study is getting.
Can I get my plastic bags back?
Yeah, yes. Yes, you can. Awesome. Yes, you can. The study finds that if CO2 in the atmosphere doubled, global temperatures would climb at most 3.4 degrees Celsius. Now, that is far below what the UN has been saying for decades. Namely, the temperatures would rise as much as 4.5 degrees and possibly up to 6.
Yeah.
So basically, the scientists involved in the Nature study found that the planet is less sensitive to changes in CO2 levels than had been previously believed, and that means the projected temperature increases are too high. Look, I'll do my rant again, and this is the thing about nature. It amazes, it really does. It amazes me the delicate balance that everything is in, right? Our bodies, the position of the planets relative to one another. You throw them off a little bit, you either freeze or you burn up, right? Everything is in just this perfect harmonious balance. And yet even with these pesky things called humans, driving around, burning off fossil fuels and dumping stuff on the ground, we've been able to, and the planet itself has adjusted on its own over time to correct those things. It's reason to say that the planet in and of itself also maintains that balance. You know, like when we get 2 degrees outside and all those plants and stuff like die in the middle of winter, and then suddenly this thing called spring happens, and all those plants that were dead under the frozen tundra all just miraculously come back to life.
And this is the danger. This is why you don't want science to get political. And this is why there's been so much pushback on these political agendas tied to the notion of climate change or tied to the notion of global warming. When science gets political, people with agendas start to get in there and they start using the science to advance an agenda that has nothing to do with the science. Science changes. That's the nature of science. It's never final. Nothing's ever a fact. It's all theories, and they advance and they learn more. And they deduce more. There was a time when science thought the world was flat. Some people still do.
I know. Yeah. Based off of what I read, I started to question it a bit, but I'm still keeping with it. This is really interesting stuff.
There's a lot of good YouTube videos out there.
It's pretty compelling. There's a couple of things I'm still not sold on yet, but it's pretty compelling stuff.
You know, and this is why it all just comes down to individual behavior.
Yeah,
you try to live your life, in a conservative manner, and by conservative I don't mean politically. I mean conserving your resources and things like that. You try to live your life and be as clean as possible, and that's enough. That's enough.
Now, they say the investors.com story goes on to say it is just one study, but it supports the contention of climate skeptics that they've been making for years, that the computer models used to predict future warming were exaggerating the impact of CO2, evidenced in part by the fact the planet hasn't been warming as much as those models said it would.
Yeah.
So why is it important? Because all the horror stories you've been told over the past decades are based on predictions of temperature increases that were much higher than 3.4 degrees. And think about the billions upon billions of dollars that have been wasted, and taxpayer dollars at that,
yep,
to combat not doing things that are best for the environment, but to specifically combat global warming and climate change. 2008, National Geographic series, for example, contended that scientists are warning that the global average temperature would increase by as much as 6 degrees Celsius over the next century. Doing that thing with my fingers, which would cause our world to change radically. oceans, it said, would become marine wastelands. Deserts would expand and catastrophic events would be more common. Yeah, that didn't happen.
It frustrates me. Somebody, they put these things out there like fact and people just believe it.
The Obama administration's EPA report in 2015 claiming that climate change would triple the number of extremely hot days in the U.S. by 2100, increase air and water pollution, and cause $5 trillion in damages for coastal property and result in tens of thousands of premature deaths.
That's terrifying.
They were assuming an increase of 5 degrees. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Nature Study blows a hole in these and other doomsday scenarios that have been peddled for decades by everyone from Al Gore to Prince Charles. Look, it's reason to say, and there was a reason why not too long ago you had a few of the leading climate change experts who actually believed that it was happening, but you began to see a shift. And the shift was away from trying to combat actual global warming and climate change and shifting more towards what do we do to adapt. I personally believe that's in large part because they also knew their data was wrong.
Yeah.
And trying to spend it to combat it wasn't going to work. They had to start going to things. Well, how do we adjust our lifestyles to fit a warming or cooling a planet and climate?
The article goes on to say, don't be surprised if scientists end up revising their peak warming down even further, because that's been the trend. Back in 1977, the National Academy of Sciences said temperatures would shoot up 6 degrees Celsius by 2050. Because of CO2 emissions. In 1985, James Hansen claimed that doubling CO2 levels would boost temperatures up to 5 degrees. And other computer models at the time put the upper bound at 5.5 degrees. So the trend has gone consistently down every time they learn more.
Yep.
And every time science actually gets applied and not politicized.
They say, as it happens, though, on the same day the Nature study was published, NASA released its latest report on global temperatures, declaring that 2017 was the second hottest year on record, with 2016 the hottest. Guess which one made the front page news? Yeah. New York Times put the NASA story on its main webpage and ignored the Nature study entirely.
Yeah.
Wow.
And to even accept the assertion that 17 of the 18 hottest years have occurred since 2001, you're required to ignore the government's manipulation of past temperature data.
Yep. Exactly. But good news for you, the climate change doomsday got canceled.
Yeah, good. Let's go out and spread some CO2.
Yeah. Spread it all
maybe
over the place.
Maybe it'll get above 2 here.
Right? This story comes out of Americans for Tax Reform. Hamburger addicts, barbecue junkies, and fried food fanatics may soon be asked to pay a surcharge for their obsessions with meat. Let me stop here real quick. Look, it's not just addicts. It's just people that like meat. I love me some meat. I had a whole bunch of chicken last night. It was really good.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
On all the chicken.
All the chicken. It was such good chicken. It was such good chicken. Oh, so no, I'll save it.
How much chicken did you have, John?
Well, it was like a rotisserie chicken that we got from Walmart.
Was it a big rotisserie chicken?
It was pretty. I mean, by the time that I was done tearing that bird apart, there was a big bowl just piled high with chicken.
You know, I also had chicken last night.
And that was your chicken.
It was delicious.
It was good. I don't want to pay more for my chicken. They're talking about excise taxes on beef, pork, and chicken that could be the next thing in state and local tax environment that's already comfortable with sin taxes aimed at cigarettes, alcoholic beverages, gambling, and is adapting quickly to special levies on sugar-sweetened beverages, greenhouse gases, and marijuana.
No! God, please, no! No!
Now, thankfully, there are no current legislative proposals on imposing state or local surcharges on meat. A growing number of public health, environmental, and animal rights activists are bullish on tax schemes addressing the mounting social costs of meat production and consumption.
This is they're basing this on a sin tax.
Yeah,
they're calling this a sin tax.
Yeah,
because this behavior they're saying is bad for you, so they want to tax you to try to dissuade you from engaging in that behavior.
Yeah, the director of PETA, People Eating Tasty Animals, says, we've never been closer to a meat tax. We have seen people, including meat eaters, realizing that meat is bad for their health and meat is taking this incredible toll on the environment. No, it's not. Why? It's not bad. No, it's not bad for your health.
No, it's not. It's fine.
Yeah.
You need meat.
Don't eat the whole cow in one sitting. But
carnivorous creatures. Remember, biology dictates that we get protein.
Okay, now look, I say that, but if you saw the amount of chicken that I ate last night, you could call that unhealthy.
Well, you
and in
might
question.
Have been a little excessive.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem was Melinda bought a whole container of you get the ranch, like the Hidden Valley Ranch.
Right.
She got a container of...
You put ranch on everything, don't you?
No, hold
Every
on.
Every time oh, we have a food those? Conversation, oh. you bring up oh, ranch.
You're one of those people?
This isn't the ranch. It's Hidden Valley oh. Ranch seasoning. Dude, it's ranch. It's ranch seasoning. Like I opened the cupboard, it was in like this bright shining light, like showing up. I was like, "Dude, you got ranch seasoning? How is this gonna taste on the chicken?"
My mom ate like some over the weekend. My mom had some chicken as well, and yeah. she ate it with ranch. And I swear, like I really don't like ranch that much.
Yeah.
And I felt like I couldn't even be around her anymore. She smelled like ranch the whole day. I was like, this is gross.
Look, if we're being honest, I'm only eating the chicken to get to the condiment. So it's just a vehicle
for ranch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not socially acceptable to put ranch into a glass and just drink it. I mean, I do it when no one's around, but not when I've got my boys nearby.
Swig a ranch.
It's not what I care what people think. It's I want to be a good example to my sons. To my sons.
You know what's wrong with your sons drinking ranch?
And seeing their dad sitting there with a glass full of ranch.
Just a straw.
With a straw and ranch.
You deserve a syntax for that.
You know, the idea of sin taxes is to dissuade people from engaging in behavior that is irresponsible or unhealthy. You know, being dependent on the government for like, you know, food stamps and things like that and all these programs that foster dependency, that's also unhealthy behavior.
Yeah.
Why don't we start taxing that?
We should do that.
Yeah. That'll never happen.
No. America, they do say Americans for Tax Reform opposes a meat tax. Americans hate taxes, said Grover Norquist. New taxes on basic consumer product like meat is doubly unpopular and will end more political careers than your usual dumb tax idea.
So please, by all means.
Crazies, continue to push your meat tax.
Yeah.
By all means.
Nancy Pelosi will be on board any second now.
The PETA is going to come over and take all my chicken away.
Them's fighting words.
It wasn't true. I bought some.
Just leave the ranch. Just leave the ranch. By all means, for the love of God, don't touch my ranch.
I'm the reason why, like, fast food places where you used to be able to get, like, packets of ranch decided to start charging for them. Oh, gosh, he always asks for more. Nobody needs that much ranch. But it's not just ranch. It's barbecue sauce. Blue cheese. Oh, yeah.
Ketchup. Are you a ketchup
blue cheese.
Guy?
Not a big ketchup guy. I have ketchup, but not a big ketchup guy.
I have one of the cheerleaders on my team actually keeps like a mini bottle. She actually keeps several mini bottles of ketchup in her bag.
I can respect that.
Hillary Clinton kept hot sauce in hers.
That's true. That is very true. All right. Coming up, we'll go here. Democrat hits Pelosi. Over make America. Well, I had you to add more to that, didn't I? Democrat.
Criticizes.
Yeah. The story to say it. In my defense, I just paused at That's a really inopportune moment. My bad. Democrat criticizes Pelosi. We'll tell you why in a minute.
Miss any of.
Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. If you miss any portion of the show, you can, if you haven't done it yet, download the iHeart Radio app. For example, if you missed Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty and our D.C. correspondent, he's on every Monday, powered by Randy's Electric. You can check out the podcast on the iHeart Radio app.
Yep, just download the app. It's free. It's easy to use. They've got a podcast section, and you go there, you search Justice and Drew, you're going to find our very own channel. With all of our programs archived there, you can then subscribe, follow that channel, and you'll get notified when new episodes are updated. And we also have a channel called KTLK Clips, which is awesome to follow because you get clips and segments and interviews from not just our show, but all the great shows here on Twin Cities News Talk. Walter Hudson, Closing Argument, our nighttime show, Sue Jeffers on the weekend, a lot of our weekend programming. It all goes up on the KTLK Clips feed.
And music too is a really good example. True story. I was watching some friends over the weekend, and Melinda was watching with me, and they played some Barry Manilow, and I said out loud, I need to get some Barry Manilow up in my life. And I did that with the iHeartRadio app. A nice curated Barry Manilow playlist. I like some Barry Manilow.
If you're in town for the Super Bowl and you've just stumbled upon our fine show, you get the iHeartRadio app. You can keep listening when you go back to wherever you came from.
That's right. You can take us back with you. Unless you're from Philly, in which case we don't want you to take us back.
No, that's not true.
Don't listen to John.
Yeah.
We get a lot of credit for those guys. All right, we will get to Democrat criticizing Pelosi.
not with his fists.
No. What's it there? It says Democrat hits Pelosi. I just over a comment she made. But even that doesn't sound right, does it? Even that shouldn't be that way. First off, though, we talked about this briefly on Friday's show, but didn't get into the details out of National Review. The state of California is considering a bill that would punish waiters at sit-down restaurants with up to 6 months in jail and a fine of up to $1,000 for offering customers straws.
Okay, just slow down a second.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to jail
mm-hmm.
for 6 months
mm-hmm.
and pay a fine of up to $1,000
mm-hmm.
if you offer
mm-hmm.
a customer a straw.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sanctuary state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to be clear. Like, mm-hmm. if you're in the country, like if you came into the country illegally,
right?
Or if you came here legally but have overstayed your legal status for one reason or another,
right?
California will not do anything to you,
right?
Right. They would. In fact, they will fight the federal government if the federal government comes in and tries to enforce those.
All true statements.
California will push back on that,
right?
But if you're a waiter,
yep.
And you offer somebody a straw,
right?
You're going to the big house.
If they were to pass this bill. Now, there is a caveat on here. If you are an illegal alien and you're a waiter and you offer somebody a straw, they won't hold you accountable.
Okay. So, I just want to. I have no plans to go to California.
Yeah, it pays to be illegal in California.
But if sometime, if I did find myself there, I like straws.
Like straws, too. So is the article writer. The bill was introduced by Democrat State Assemblyman, Majority Leader Ian Calderon. To be fair, right, it doesn't ban straws entirely. It just bans waiters from offering straws to customers who have not asked for them. So it's not like Calderon is being totally ridiculous. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, he is.
Seriously.
What's even more ridiculous is that Calderon's idea isn't really a new one. Reason noted that the cities of San Luis Obispo and Davis already have laws that prohibit waiters from asking customers whether they would like straws. Oh, man, I want to go there just to see if I can get a waiter to break. Don't you want to? And I've got this drink here, but I really don't want to put my mouth on the glass. Is there something maybe that you can?
Well, I would be even more subtle than that. I would just like be spilling the drink.
Oh, just having a hard time drinking
just like pouring it down my cheek.
I don't know what to do. Do you have any suggestions for me, waiter?
Waiter, how can I help? Can you help me stop this? My shirt is getting ruined.
I'm so wet.
I have a drinking problem.
Now, apparently, Manhattan Beach has already banned disposable plastic. Seattle restaurant businesses will be forbidden from offering plastic straws or utensils beginning in July. It isn't clear how many straws actually end up in waterways, which is the specific reason for the apparent proposed policy. But the California Coastal Commission estimates that the number of straws and stirrers collected on an annual coastal cleanup day was around 835,425 since 1988, which is about 4.1.
Counting these things?
Yeah. Yeah,
which I'd hate to have that job.
4.1% of the trash has been collected on those days since 1988. Just a side note, we need to get to the phone calls here. Look, I was born and raised in Southern California. I spent many a summer day at the many day a year on the beach. Look, straws and stirrers are the last like foreign element that you need to worry about being on a public beach in Southern California. I mean, unless you go to a really nice one, they're overall pretty nasty.
Ew.
on a number of different levels. Unless you go like to the northern part of California and the nicer parts. But in Southern California, it's gross. You get back to the story. Has California decided that maybe it's actually a bad thing that it has one of the lower incarceration rates in the country and wants to do something to bump the rankings up a little bit? The article writer says, the truth is, straws are awesome. I'm not afraid to admit I have a few of my own. They can help protect your teeth from stains when you're drinking dark liquids. Yep. They can help you avoid the germs that can be on cans or restaurant glasses.
I mean, think about just that aspect of it alone. You really trust that these glasses that are being served to you have been completely cleaned and disinfected? No, that's why you have straws.
Yeah, they reduce the risk of choking. And I don't know about you, but I want to live. The story actually says that I stole that joke. 651-989-5855. Let's go and talk with Colin in Minneapolis. Good morning, Colin. Welcome to Justice and Drew. What are your thoughts?
So the more I hear of news coming out of California, the more I support their secessionist movement.
Right.
Do you realize that if this law passes, which I want to say it wouldn't, but it's California, there's a really solid chance it's going to pass with an overwhelming majority. It would offer stricter punishment for offering a plastic straw than it would for knowingly infecting someone with HIV.
Ugh.
That's the mind-blowing thing about this.
Yeah.
When you
wall it off and let North Korea hit them. I don't care anymore.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me get my family out of there a little close to the
not necessarily
the ghost.
On board with the second half.
Yeah,
of that.
You were there for a while, but then you went all straw on us. Unfortunately, just can't quite get on board on
the,
that.
The punishment does not fit the crime.
No.
I mean, if you want to ban straws, I guess it's still really dumb, but to put somebody in prison, put somebody in jail for even offering that's
would any judge ever do that?
Mind-blowingly stupid.
I can't imagine any judge would actually go and if they passed it, that any judge in their right mind would actually go through with prosecuting somebody and sending them to jail. They go on to say there are just some things that the state shouldn't be involved in, and I feel like a business offering drinking tools definitely falls into that category. Right. Could you imagine ordering a smoothie and being expected to just smash your face into the glass instead of actually using a straw?
I was thinking about like milkshakes, and, right. You know, like one of those. Yeah, you know, I mean,
especially you got to sit there. You have to wait for it to warm up before you can drink it.
What if you're getting a drive-thru? Oh, they already got rid of those in California, didn't they?
Did they get rid of drive-thrus?
What?
I know in some, not as a whole, but they've passed cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco, I think, have passed restrictions on new drive-thrus of where they can go.
Yeah, I guarantee
like,
if you go to
the drive-thru and you get a, you know, you order your soda at the drive-thru, you need a straw. You have to have a straw.
Yeah.
You spill it all over yourself and get into an accident. And like 10 people are going to die.
What could you come up with? Let's say California did this. What could you create to be the alternative? Right? So what could you make that you would serve the same purpose? I know, I'm really. What could you make that could serve the same purpose but not be a straw?
A funnel.
Yeah. You'd have to
a disposable funnel for more plastic.
Yeah, you'd have to like be something you could attach to
just
it or you
call
could,
it something else. You can just call it a siphon.
Call it a tube.
Yeah. Just like it's not a straw, tube. It's a siphon.
Siphon my soda.
Yeah. This is like, not a straw, it, officer.
Like, make it like a siphon, so it's going to be like a skinny tube that's like extra long. So
but it's non-flexible, right? It's just the firm plastic, so it retains its shape. But it's not a straw; it's a siphon.
Why wouldn't they just do? Because I've seen some restaurants will have like cardboard straws.
Those are a waste of time. And
I agree with you. No, I don't disagree. Yeah. But why say no more straws? Why not say like, well, this like the materials that you use in straws?
I could be wrong on this. Because this happens a lot. Okay, but I do seem to recall there was another community, and it was probably like Berkeley or something, that was going that route.
Yeah,
but they were going the route of you couldn't use plastic straws, but you could use metal straws. But then people freaked out because you could cause damage to your teeth.
Well, that's why cardboard.
And being sharp on it. Yeah, but I don't think I've ever used a cardboard straw.
I've used one. They weren't bad.
Does it have like a coating on it? Because cardboard just gets soggy and like wet and stuff.
I don't know. It's okay. Really dense. I don't know. There's a couple of restaurants that I've eaten at around here that have them.
I want to see them go through with this just because I want to see the person that comes up with the alternative and then calls it something else, but it still ends up being a straw. Yeah, just to get around the law.
Jerk it on it. Jerk it.
I'm on it. It's a siphon. It's a firm siphon.
It reminds me of that episode of Friends when Joey does the commercial and he's got the carton of milk and he can't get it open. And so he's got the thing that you screw into it where you can pour it out. Now I can enjoy my milk every day. Is it bad that straws end up in the waterways? The article wraps up from National Review. Sure. Does that mean that people who provide them should end up in jail? No. And the fact that someone actually sincerely suggested that they should makes me want to scream until my lungs give out. I think it's pretty important to make sure that the punishments fit crimes. And if you think that jail time is really appropriate response to straw offering, then you should probably suck on one because you're really too absurd to allow yourself to be talking.
Now, could you privately buy straws?
Is that like an insult that I've never heard of? Go suck on a straw.
Can you privately buy, assuming this were to pass, could you privately buy straws and have them at home, or is it like black market straws now?
Well, the law seems geared towards waiters offering them, so I imagine you could bring your own.
I've got a lot of questions about this, because why is it the waiter's fault? Why shouldn't it be the restaurant owner's fault?
A lot of California moms now having a purse full of straws. Here, for when they go out to eat.
Well, if they start going this route, go back to the meat tax for a moment. Okay, so the straws are bad for the environment. They don't want the waiters going and offering them. So if they determine, right, that too much meat consumption is bad for your health and for the environment, are we going to be at a point now where, I mean, we really are going to push out this automation. Because now you couldn't have waiters offer, you know, what's on the menu today? I can't tell you. What's the special today? I'm sorry. I'm prohibited by law.
I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, yeah. I can let you know what salads and fruits we have.
I can give you a list of proteins.
Yeah.
And a list of sides.
Yeah, but
you can kind of put it together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I can't tell you.
Do you have any condiments? I don't know.
I don't know.
I am not allowed to make you aware of that. Yeah. You know what? I'm going back to the previous caller. Let North Korea nuke him.
No.
All right.
No,
let's go.
No! God, please, no! No!
Terrible.
Just kidding. Out of Fox News, Senator Joe Manchin criticized House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi for her response to President Trump's immigration plan that she called a blueprint to make America white again.
Huh?
That's what...
Please, Nancy Pelosi, keep talking. Please keep talking.
Trump's proposal would offer a path to citizenship for 1.8 million so-called dreamers. He would insist on $25 billion in funding for the border wall and security. The proposal also called for a crackdown on chain migration and the diversity visa lottery program. Manchin, who was on CNN State of the Union, says we don't need that type of rhetoric on either side from Nancy, Speaker, Paul Ryan, or anybody else.
Not if you want to win elections.
No, make America white again. Look, it doesn't matter. Trump could lay out a plan for a pathway for citizenship for all the illegal aliens in the country, and Schumer and Pelosi would still call it a right-wing, hardline immigration stance.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
Because they have to play to their base.
Yeah.
They have to play to the hashtag resist crowd, and that's what a lot of them just believe. And nothing that can happen will alter that belief.
They're so distrusting of any GOP plan because they automatically assume it's filled with agenda, because that's what they do.
We just got a couple minutes left before we have to wrap up. Let's take Brent calling from Wisconsin. Good morning, Brent. Go ahead.
Yeah, this straw incident, doesn't this have any kind of impact on the disabled society? You know, people in wheelchairs, neck, back problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people need straws. Can't drink without them.
Well, again, and that drives at the heart of why they're going the route they're going, potentially, of not being able to offer it because of all those other reasons. For all the reasons why straws are good and how people need to use them, they know they can't ban them outright, so we'll just go ahead and hold the waiters accountable if they were to go and offer one.
Rick in Minneapolis. You got 30 seconds, Rick. Go ahead.
Have the hostess offer them. Then it's nobody can get charged.
Ah, there you go. Can you just get somebody from the waiter, or just have straw dispensers at every table?
We're not going to have waiters much longer, anyhow.
That's true. You'll be getting your straw from a kiosk.
It's all little iPad
automated straw dispensers.
At your table. so
maybe
stupid.
They'll just have tubes coming out of the ceiling and you just put your mouth on them. And that's where you get your beverage.
Wait, that sounds like a really cool idea. That
sounds really unsanitary.
Well, if it's my own personal tube, you know, they got to replace the tube at every meal.
It's a bad idea.
It sounds like a fantastic idea. I think you've found the relevant solution.
Tomorrow on the show from Fox News, as he joins us every Tuesday, our good friend Pete Hegseth will be on. We'll continue to follow this hashtag release the memo, even though we are not, last time I checked, Russian bots.
Have a great day. Enjoy the temperature, too.
This report is brought to you.